The Lord simply said unto Moses in Deuteronomy 34 and verse 4, thou shalt not go over thither. Here we have a man. After everything that he's been through, everything that he's done, he's not going to enter into the land that was promised unto his fathers. Let's look at the life of Moses for just a moment. Look at all of these things, and then we'll discuss why exactly he's not able to enter into that land. And then we're going to see how that applies, how we can make application to us today. As we look at the life of Moses, we see God, through His providence, long before Moses was ever born, He brought His people down into Egypt to make of them a great nation. We read in Genesis 46 and verse 3, and He said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. So God had promised this already. Joseph was there. He was practically Pharaoh in everything but name. Number two in power there. Anything that he said went. He was given the king, the Pharaoh's ring, and so he was able to put his seal on nearly everything. Joseph was there, able to take care of his brethren. Jacob and his family were well received there, we know, going down into Egypt. They were given probably the most fertile land there. But after the death of Joseph, it said of the Israelites, Exodus 1 and verse 7, that the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty. And the land was filled with them. You can imagine how this would affect some of the Egyptians, seeing this foreign people and their land and having probably the most fertile plain that there was in order for them to prosper. And so there finally arose a king, a Pharaoh, that knew not Joseph. And this new king of Egypt, out of fear of the Israelites, set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. Exodus 1 and verse 11. And then another king arose which knew not Joseph, and the same dealt subtly with our kindred. We read this in Acts 7, 18 and 19, by the way. Dealt subtly with our kindred, and evilly entreated our fathers, so that they cast out their young children to the end they might not live. The Egyptian king at this time, trying to slow the growth of the Israelite nation, decided that any male child that was born was going to be cast into the river. Basically, a sacrifice unto one of their gods. We see that that didn't do any good. Because all of this was a fulfillment of prophecy. We read in Genesis 15, 13, and 14, and he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years, and also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. And afterward shall they come out with great substance. And so for about 150 to 200 years, God's people are in the bondage of slavery to the Egyptians. But finally, in the fullness of time, Moses was born of the tribe of Levi to Amram and Jochebed, Exodus 2, 1 and following. As we were talking about a moment ago in Exodus chapter 1, we see that Pharaoh had decreed that every son that is born of the Hebrews was to be cast into the river, Exodus 1 and verse 22. Moses' mother, fearing God more than man, took Moses, placed him in an ark of bulrushes, and Miriam, Moses' sister, watched as Pharaoh's daughter saw this ark of bulrushes, saw the small baby contained within, took him and adopted him as her own. And then again, through the providence of God, we see that Moses' own mother was secured to be his nurse. Exodus 2, 6 through 10. Moses, now, raised up in the palace of the Egyptian king. We read in Acts 7 and verse 22 that he was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and in deeds. This is the Moses of which we read in the Bible. He was being raised up in this great palace. He was being raised up in this great country at this time, probably the greatest civilization in the world at that particular point in time. Had all the knowledge that they had at his fingertips. He had all the power that they had at his fingertips. But I want you to turn to Acts chapter 7, and I want you to read with me concerning this man called Moses. Acts 7, beginning in verse 23. Now Stephen is preaching here. Beginning in verse 23, we just read part of verse 22. Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. Now beginning in verse 23 we see, and when he was full 40 years old, and it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him, and avenged him that was oppressed, and smote the Egyptian. And he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. And the next day he showed himself unto them as they strove, and would have set them at one again, saying, Sirs, ye are brethren. Why do ye wrong one to another? But he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge over us? Wilt thou kill me as thou didst the Egyptian yesterday? Then fled Moses at this saying, was a stranger in the land of Madian, where he begat two sons. And when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire and a bush. When Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight, and as he drew near to behold it, the voice of the Lord came unto him, saying, I am God, I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Then Moses trembled, and durst not behold. Then said the Lord to him, Put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. I have seen the affliction of my people, which is in Egypt, and I have heard their groaning, and am come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send thee into Egypt. This Moses, whom they refused, saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge? The same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush. He brought them out. After that he had showed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years. This is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hear. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in the Mount Sinai. And with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto us. Moses had done all that. Moses had prophesied of the coming of Jesus the Christ. But Moses was not allowed to enter into the promised land. Why? Why? You know, there are those in the world today that will say, you know, I just cannot believe that God is going to condemn this person. Look at all the good that he's done in his life. Look at everything that he has done. Friends, look at everything that Moses had done. Everything that Moses had accomplished. Did he get to enter into the promised land? No. Why? Turn with me again to Deuteronomy 34. And read with me verses 1 through 6. Let's look at the entire context here of God telling Moses that he would not enter over. He would not pass over Jordan. And Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the mount of Nebo, to the top of Pisgah that is over against Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan, and all Naphtali, and all the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah unto the utmost sea. And the south and the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees unto Zoar. And the Lord said unto him, This is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, over against Beth Peor. But no man knoweth of his sepulcher, unto this day. What happened? What happened to this great man that had won so many battles for and with his people, that had followed the instructions of God and led his people through the wilderness? What happened to the man that had stricken the rock as God had told him to do at one time? What happened to this man that was and that would forbid him from entering into the promised land? Friends, to figure that out, we need only turn back a few chapters to Deuteronomy chapter 32. And read with me verses 48 through 51. Beginning in verse 48, we read, "And the Lord spake unto Moses that selfsame day, saying, Get thee up unto this mountain, Abiram, unto Mount Nebo, which is in the land of Moab, that is over against Jericho, and behold the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel for possession. And die in the mount whither thou goest up, and be gathered up unto thy people, as Aaron thy brother died in Mount Hor, and was gathered unto his people, because ye trespassed against me among the children of Israel at the waters of Meribah Kadesh, in the wilderness of Zin, because ye sanctified me not in the midst of the children of Israel." Verse 52, "Yet thou shalt see the land before thee, but thou shalt not go thither unto the land which I give the children of Israel." What happened? Moses had trespassed against God, and as such, he was not allowed to enter. He failed to glorify God, to give God the glory in the midst of the children of Israel. We might see, well, that could be a problem. Time and time and time again, what happened with the children of Israel? They turned unto other gods. While Moses was in Mount Sinai, speaking with God concerning the commandments, the commands that God was giving to Moses to deliver unto the people, Moses comes down and lo and behold, what do they have out there worshiping? A golden calf. Something that had been done in Egypt. They had brought those things out with them. Time and again they turned away from God. And so God was very serious concerning these things, concerning Him getting the glory, showing the people the way. Moses didn't do that in this instance. For when he struck the rock that two times, rather than speak to it as God had told him to do, the words that came out of Moses' mouth was, must we fetch you water out of this rock? He failed to give God the glory. And he broke the tie by striking the rock twice. Christ was only to be struck once, and being nailed to the cross. Moses had trespassed against God, and so was not allowed to enter the promised land. So all of these things considered, how does this apply to us today? Friends, even as God provided a promised land for the Israel of old, He has provided for spiritual Israel as well, the promised land of heaven. Spiritual Israel being His church. There are three very important lessons that we should learn and hold near to us as they relate to Moses not entering into the promised land. Number one, friends, we need to learn, we must learn that God is no respecter of persons when it comes to sin. You consider everything that Moses had done, everything that he had accomplished, the great leader that he was. He had led God's people out of bondage and through the wilderness. He had served as the mediator of God's covenant with Israel, the go-between. When God had threatened to destroy all the people of Israel and restart with Moses, Moses went to God on their behalf. Everything that he had done. He made the tabernacle according to the pattern shown him in the Holy Mount, Hebrews 8 and verse 5. He was faithful to God in all his house, Hebrews 3 and verse 4. Yet there was a blemish on the record of Moses. Friend, God will not allow any person, not a one, regardless of race, regardless of gender, regardless of station, to enter into the promised land of heaven who trespasses, that is, they act unfaithfully against the laws of God. It doesn't matter if he's the president of the United States, the CEO of a major company, an elder, a deacon, a preacher, a Bible class teacher, but it may be a person that has baptized 10,000 people, friends, if they have a trespass on their record. They're not going to be allowed to enter the promised land. One who enters into eternity, having acted unfaithfully against God, will not enter into the promised land of heaven. Number two. Friend, do you want to see the promised land and then be denied entrance? You think of the sorrow that Moses must have felt. Immediately when his wrong was pointed out to him. And God takes him up on that mount and he sees everything that God was going to give his people. This land that flowed with milk and honey. And after he had toiled for so long with this rebellious people, he was not going to receive that reward. He was not going to be allowed to enter in. Deuteronomy 34 and verse 4 again says, I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. You can look at it, but you're not going to get the taste of the crops. You're not going to get to be able to experience that land. Now friends, imagine the judgment day. And possibly seeing the pearly city. You see the streets of gold, the mansions in the Father's house, the inheritance prepared for the faithful, the saints being received, and then you are told, thou shalt not go over thither. But God, look at everything that I've done. You've trespassed against me and failed to give me the glory. You shall not go over thither. Powerful lesson from the life of Moses. But then, what about number three? Another lesson that we can learn. Will God's people know where you are in eternity? Deuteronomy 34, 5 and 6. We read, so Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord, and he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab over against Beth Peor. And don't miss this last part. But no man knoweth of his sepulcher unto this day. Moses' body remained in the land of Moab, the enemies of God's people. Who wants to spend eternity in Moab with the enemies of God just short of the promised land? Friends, notice the scripture. No man knoweth of his sepulcher unto this day. Friends, if lost in eternity, those in heaven will not know where I'm at. Think about that. Many lessons that we can learn from the life of Moses. But friends, as we learn this lesson of Moses, from Moses concerning not being able to enter into the promised land, my hope and my prayer is that will not be you. Let's put away our Bibles. Let's take out our songbooks. We're ready to sing the invitation song in just a moment. Friends, we learn in the Word of God, then indeed God is no respecter of persons pertaining to sin and salvation. Jesus gave Himself a ransom for all. Anybody that would believe upon Him and obey His Word, He's going to reward every man according to his works, that is, according to what he does in accordance with God's Word. One who enters into eternity, friends, guilty of trespasses against God, cannot enter the promised land. To see heaven will not be enough. Friends, I want to be there. Do you? I hope that your answer is yes. I'm sure that it is. To be lost from the presence of God and the fellowship of the saved, friends, that in and of itself is going to be an eternity of punishment. Don't let it be said to you, thou shalt not go over thither. Do you want to enter the promised land of heaven tonight? Do you have that desire within you? That at the day of judgment, at the time of judgment were to come this very evening, that you want to hear from God, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Friends, only one who is a child of God who has believed, repented, confessed, and been baptized for the remission of their sins has the hope of entering the promised land. One who is a child of God, though, and is guilty of trespasses, acting unfaithfully against God, cannot enter into the promised land unless he repents before God. So friends, let me ask you this. Do you have the hope? Are you a child of God? Are you faithful? If not, why not? I hope that none of us here this evening ever hear, thou shalt not go over thither. Friend, are you here tonight having never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ? Would you do so tonight? Would you put Christ on in baptism through immersion in water for the forgiveness of your sins? Do that tonight, friends, and you may have the hope of eternal life. Are you here this evening having lived unfaithfully? Come home. Give yourself to Christ. Give yourself to God once more. And be His for eternity. Friend, if you have a need to obey the gospel, to repent of sin, or if you just need the prayers of the church, friend, we ask that you come right now while we stand and while we sing.